Literally works of Allah Hazrat. Literally works of Allah Hazrat. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers, welcome to another episode of our program, The Literary Works of Ala Hazrat, Alayhi Rahma. Inshallah, before we begin mentioning more of the great works of Ala Hazrat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, let us mention an excellence of reciting Durood Sharif Salatun Salam upon the best of creation, our intercessor, our master, Sayyiduna Rasulullah Sallallahu Alayhi Wasallam. In one hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alayhi Wasallam, a companion, radiyallahu ta'ala, he asks, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I spend all my free time, all of my free time, after fulfilling the obligations, after the faraid, etc., if I spend all of the remaining time in reciting salat upon you, in reciting Durood Sharif upon you, then what do you say in this regard? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if you were to do this, if you were to actually devote all your free time to this blessed action, meaning reciting salat upon me, then this will be sufficient to remove your worries and have your sins forgiven. Subhanallah. Dear viewers, in today's day and age, we look around and everybody has some worry or another. People are suffering from grief, concern about other issues. And alhamdulillah, in this hadith, we're taught how to find a way out of those difficulties, those griefs, those worries that are affecting us. Reciting Durood Sharif upon the Prophet alayhi salam as much as you can. And secondly, your sins will be forgiven. So there are double blessings mentioned in this hadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to recite salat upon the Prophet alayhi salam in abundance. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So continuing our program, in the last episode we covered a few works of Ala Hazrat, Kanzul Iman, we mentioned Fatawa Razaviyya Sharif, the magnum opus, amazing work of Ala Hazrat alayhi rahmatu rahman. We also mention Al-Amnu Wal-Ula, another beautiful work. In this episode, again, we'll be covering some other booklets, some other texts of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, and briefly touching upon the topic and how Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi tackled the issue that he was asked about. So to begin, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, when he visited Haramain Sharifain for Hajj, and we know that he visited twice in his lifetime. When he visited Haramain Sharifain, the scholars of Makkah, the Muftiyan-e-Kiram of Makkah al-Mukarramah, and specifically Sheikh Ismail Khalil, they were faced with objections. And people objected to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam having knowledge of the unseen, ilm al-ghayb. Now Sheikh Ismail Khalil and other shurafa, other noble scholars of Makkah al-Mukarramah, they asked Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi to refute those objections concerning the vast knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because we have to remember that although there are alhamdulillah many, many Muslims across the globe who are blessed to have the right aqidah, the correct doctrine, especially in relation to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are unfortunate people amongst us as well who they are not able to, or they haven't been given tawfiq to recognize the great rank of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as such, they always have objections and they try to misguide others. And it's the job of the ulama, the scholars of Islam, to clarify things, to answer those objections. And this was the case here, that Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi was tasked to write on this topic about the knowledge of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the amazing thing, the miraculous thing, that Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi was suffering from an illness, a fever, because of which he was not able to work continuously. So he worked for a bit, then rested, then he worked for a bit. And like this, it's mentioned that the great Imam was able to compile a book titled Ad-Dawlatul Makkiyah Bil Maddatil Ghaybiyah in only 8 hours. Now imagine, dear viewers, when a person writes a book, how many drafts he writes, how many times he revises his idea in regards to the book. No, I'm going to put this section first, or I'm going to tackle it in this way. Subhanallah, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahma, he wrote this entire work, this beautiful work, Ad-Dawlatul Makkiyah, in only 8 hours. And he presented it to the ulama and said, here is the book, I have answered the objections. And when they read it, subhanallah, they were amazed as well. And this book was attested to, was given great recommendations by scholars, the likes of Imam Yusuf bin Ismail Nabhani rahmatullahi alayh. Now he himself, Imam Yusuf Nabhani rahmatullahi alayh, is a massive scholar. And here greatness is recognizing greatness. Imam Yusuf Nabhani rahmatullahi alayh is recognizing the work of Allah, recommending it, attesting to it. And other great scholars also wrote attestations as well. They endorsed this work of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh. And thereafter, it's mentioned that Ala Hazrat also wrote additional works, annotations on Ad-Dawlatul Makkiyah, and some of the names, one in particular was Imba'ul Hay Anna Kalamahul Masnoon Tibyanul Likulli Shay. And Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi proved that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has immense and vast knowledge of the unseen. And we hear this in the Quran. Allah Jalla wa Ala mentions that عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَىٰ غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا إِلَّا مَنِ ارْتَضَىٰ مِنْ رَسُولٍ. That عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ, the knower of the unseen, meaning Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, He does not reveal His knowledge of the unseen to anyone. إِلَّا مَنِ ارْتَضَىٰ مِنْ رَسُولٍ, except who he chooses from the messenger. And of course, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the greatest messenger. And the scholars have said the knowledge that he possessed, no other Nabi, no other Rasul possessed that knowledge. And Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alaihi so beautifully, in light of Quran and Hadith and the beliefs of the scholars before him, the pious predecessors Rahimahumullah Ta'ala, proved that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam indeed had knowledge of the unseen. And remember, this was at a time when Shaitan was influencing so-called scholars, those who had deviated. And ma'adullah, those people who were in the guise of scholars, they were saying that the Prophet ﷺ did not have knowledge of the unseen. They went as far as comparing the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the knowledge of animals, ma'adullah, to the knowledge of madmen. And here Allah rahmatullahi alayhi subhanallah, Ad-Dawlatul Makkiyah, he wrote in 8 hours, and he proved that the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did in fact possess ilmul ghaib, and Allah jalla wa ala granted him immense knowledge of the unseen, subhanallah. So it's a must read as well. But again, these works of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi, one thing I would like to mention, they're not something that we could pick up ourselves and understand kama haqquhu, the way, to the level that we ought to understand them. Because Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi's works are very scholarly. So it's important that we sit with ulama and we learn from them. Anything we don't understand, we go to the court of the scholars and we say humbly that I am not able to understand this passage or this terminology, can you please explain it to me? And this is the way of true believers. Moving on, Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma has another work titled Fatawa Al-Ifriqa. And this work, subhanallah, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi received 111 questions on various topics, on numerous topics, where from? All the way from South Africa, a different continent. He was in Asia And he's been asked questions all the way from Africa. Now, I just want you to think for a moment, dear viewers, that there was no social media at the time. There was no internet at the time. Now, today, if somebody asks me or you a question from a different city, for example, if we're in Birmingham, UK, and somebody asks us a question from London, we feel honored. And we'll tell people that today I received a question from London. And remember, in this day and age, it's not difficult to receive a question from far. Everyone's got social media accounts. The internet is there. But Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, in his time, there was no social media. There was no internet. And this blessed individual sitting in his room in Bareilly Sharif, India, is receiving questions from thousands of miles away. Subhanallah. And why is this? This is because the true saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ulama, the inheritors of the prophets alayhi wasalam, Allah jalla wa ala grants them acceptance amongst the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places their love, their respect in the hearts of people. And people turn to them. And this was the case with Allah. In the Quran we're told, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ, that remember me, I will remember you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this. And the scholars have explained that I will remember you means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant fame to that person, renown to that person, and people will turn to him, people will know him as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant renown to that person. And here we see Allah rahmatullahi alayhi so many miles away, but he's receiving questions from devotees all the way in South Africa, subhanallah. So this book itself contains 111 questions, and these questions were sent by Haji Ismail from South Africa in three dispatches, meaning on three separate occasions he sent the questions. And it was published in 1336. Again, this is available. We should sit with the ulama and study this. Subhanallah, so many pearls of knowledge and wisdom we can attain from it. Another work, and this is a work which consists of the sayings, the statements, the speech of Allah Hazrat, the discourse of Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. And he did not write it himself, it was compiled by his honorable son, Mufti Azam Hind Mustafa Raza Khan Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. Now the title of this work is Al-Malfood, the Dicta. And it's a collection of sayings of Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ali in various gatherings. So you can imagine, just as today, for example, Shaykh Tariqat Amin Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakat Mul Aliya has his Madani Mudhakara. People gather, people ask questions. Back then, people would gather at the blessed feet of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullahi Ali, and questions would be asked as well. Or sometimes it was limited to the ulama, only the family members were there, or for example, the likes of Mufti Azam Hind. And his son, Mufti Azam Hind Mustafa Raza Khan Sahib, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, he compiled the sayings of Allah Rahmatullahi Ali into book form, and he made them into four parts. And this is the book Al-Malfood. Now subhanallah, this is a book that we should all read. They are mainly answers to questions on various topics. And as is the style of Allah Hazrat, he always backs up his answers using hadith, Quran, tafsir, finer points of fiqh, and opinions on tasawwuf. He has anecdotes, stories of the pious people of the past. Subhanallah, in all there are 610 questions, and the answers contain 194 Quranic verses, 306 hadith, and 157 anecdote stories. And all of this was said on the spot. So this was a khasiyah, this was a distinct quality of the great Imam, that when he was asked questions, he would be able to answer on the spot. This was his phenomenal memory. This was a testament to his phenomenal memory. And this showed his phenomenal memory and the strength of his memory, subhanallah, that he was able to preserve rulings from so many books, from Quran, hadith, tafsir, usul, and he would be able to give answers on the spot. Now, in today's day and age, if you ask someone a question, they'll say, okay, I'll get back to you in half an hour. Let me just read the book again. Let me look at the book and I'll get back to you. There's nothing wrong with that. And in fact, if the scholar is doing that out of precaution so that he doesn't fall into a sin by giving the wrong answer unknowingly, then he'll be rewarded for that with good intentions, inshallah. But what we're saying here is Allah, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, was so blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mujaddid of his time, that when he studied, he was able to memorize what he studied. And we read accounts in the past of Imam Malik and Imam Shafi'i and other great scholars, rahimahumullah, who had phenomenal memories. But this is an example of someone who lived only 100 years ago. And his memory was, subhanallah, amazing. So this was another work of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi titled Al-Malfuz. Again, we should try and read it. Another work of the great Imam, Tamheed-e-Iman, the preamble to faith. Now, subhanallah, this is such an amazing work, such an important work. And if we say that this work led to the preservation of the Iman of millions of Muslims across the world, it wouldn't be wrong. Because it actually did that. It saved people's Iman. Why? Because in this, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he makes an appeal, a passionate appeal to his Muslims, his fellow Muslim brothers, and he says, look, you are from the group of Mustafa Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. People are trying to take you away. People are trying to deviate you. People are trying to misguide you regarding Allah Jalla Wa'ala, regarding the Prophet Alayhi Wasallam. They are mentioning such foul things in their books and they want you to adopt it as well. And Allah Azza Rahmatullahi Alayhi, time and time again, he addresses the beloved Ummah and he says, this is what I'm calling you towards. I'm calling you towards the pristine teachings of Islam. I am requesting you to stay on the straight path. But people are out there, beware of them. And Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi, what he does is he proves that the aqaid of certain people in his time are blasphemous. Yes, they're to the level of blasphemy. Meaning if a person adopts those beliefs, he no longer remains a Muslim. And Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi specifically mentions that the basis of Iman, that for your Iman to be intact, to be valid even, to be authentic, you have to love the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is the basis of faith. And if you do not have love for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you could read all the salah you want, perform all the hajj you want, give zakah, do all the ibadat, it will not be accepted from you. Why? Because Iman bil Rasul, loving the Prophet Alaihi Wasallam, comes before all of those ibadat. And there were people in his time who were attempting to diminish the lofty status of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma, he analyzes those statements of the people, the blasphemous statements, and he tells people that look with justice. No, be just. Are these statements that can be uttered by a Muslim? Of course not. Alhamdulillah, this is a beautiful work of Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi, Tamheed-e-Iman. And in this day and age, our Honorable Shaykh Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatul Aliyah, he has given us a pious deeds booklet where we make assessment of our daily actions. We ask ourselves what we did. In this way, we try and better ourselves, rectify ourselves, and develop piety in our hearts. In this booklet, he actually mentions, have you read Tamheed-e-Iman this year? He encourages his Murideen, Muhibbeen, Mutaalliqeen, those associated with him and his beautiful organization, Dawud Salami, read this book once a year. Now this is a question, have we read it? Have we ever read it? If not, then let's make time for this. Sit with the ulama, study this book, Tamheed-e-Iman. Inshallah, it will strengthen your faith. And with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only that, it will preserve your faith as well. So this was a beautiful work of Allah Hazrat Tamheed-e-Iman. Another work that I want to present to you, this is not an original work of Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi, but it is rather a commentary of his father's work. Now remember, Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi came from a scholarly family. And his father was a massive mufti in his own right. His name, Mufti Maulana Naqi Ali Khan Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi. And his father was a great scholar, a mutakallim, an asset for the Ummah, a leading scholar of his time. And he wrote a book, Ahsanul Wi'a li Adab al-Du'a. And Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi wrote a commentary on it. So the title became, Zaylul Mudda'a li Ahsanil Wi'a li Adab al-Du'a. A desired supplement for a beautiful receptacle on the etiquette of prayer. Subhanallah. So the original work, Maulana Naqi Ali Khan Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, the father, the honorable father of Allah Hazrat, he wrote this book in various sections. meaning what to recite in dua for dua to be readily accepted, where to make dua, amakinul ijaba, where duas are accepted, which locations, what are the preferred timings of dua, meaning if you pray in certain times, inshallah, your dua is more likely to be accepted. What are the etiquette of supplicating in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? For example, the hadith is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept the dua of a ghafil, a neglectful, a heedless heart. And what happens is when we're praying, at times our mind is wandering elsewhere. We're thinking about the world, we're thinking about our job, we're thinking about a matter at home, and we expect to see results from our dua. Now dua is worship. In fact, in this book, it states that ad-du'a mukh li ibadah. It's the brain of worship, the essence of worship. And as such, you have to abide by certain etiquette. Now you have a key, for example, and the key will only open if it's the key for that particular lock. Now without comparison, the du'a will only be accepted if all of the adab, if what you're required to do is actually done. Now if your mind is elsewhere, if you're not doing dua sincerely, if you're doing it with wrong intentions, then how are you going to have your duas accepted? And this book, subhanAllah, is so beautiful, and it covers all of these things. What leads to the rejection of duas, what things we should be mindful of. And Allah rahmatullahi alayhi, what he did was, on his blessed father's work, he added notes. He added notes from himself. So if for example, his father wrote 10 points regarding where dua is accepted, for example, Allah Hazrat added to that and wrote more. So if his father wrote, these are the adab of dua, Allah Hazrat rahmatullahi alayhi added some from himself. And subhanallah al-azim, the scholars of Islam have said that Allah Hazrat's points that he has added, the additions that he made to his father's work, they're not even found in classic dua manuals. Classic dua books like Hisnul Haseen and Kitabul Adhkar. Kitabul Adhkar is the book of Imam Nawawi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and Hisnul Haseen is the book of Imam Muhammad Al-Jazari, rahmatullahi ta'ala. These are beautiful works in their own right. But the scholars of Islam, having studied Zaylul Mudda'a, they have come to discover that Allah Hazrat rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned points in this book that are not even found in classic manuals like Kitabul Adhkar, like Hisnul Haseen, which shows the subhanallah, the God gifted talents of Allah Hazrat rahmatullahi alayhi and his ability to extract points of knowledge. May Allah Jalla wa Ala grant us all true love for the great Imam, and this true love will develop and increase inshallah by studying his works. We'll leave it there inshallah in this episode. Join us for another episode of this program where we talk about and discuss more works of Allah rahmatullahi alayhi. Until then, may Allah preserve and protect all of us. Ameen bijahi Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Literary works of Allah Hazrat. Literary works of